Welcome to the Christian Ministries Church Podcast. As you listen, we pray God's blessing be over you and that He will empower you with inner strength through His Spirit. Now let's join Pastor Ashley Ellison.
Great job. I tell you, I'm always amazed at when Melanie comes up on that one part and goes, "Waymaker," I'm always like, yeah. Does that get anybody else? I don't know. That's just an exciting time in the song. Well, if you weren't here last week, I want to encourage you to listen at some point to the podcast. I started a message on the big picture, and I want to do part two of that this week. God has just laid so much on my heart about this story and what God is doing in the lives of His people. There's a passage in Scripture that fits the whole picture of this message or this series in Ephesians chapter 4, verse 16. It says in Scripture that He makes the whole body fit together perfectly. As each part does its own special work, it helps the other parts grow so that the whole body is healthy and growing and full of love. Now, I used a puzzle as an illustration last week, and I'm going to keep referring to this through the week, that there is a part of the church that we have to understand of fitting together like puzzle pieces. We fit together, and as we fit together, our part of the puzzle starts to look sharp, and it helps us then to see how good the other parts look. And that's why I bought this picture puzzle, because before you even start putting together a puzzle, you have to look at the big picture. And I like this big picture because it's bright and colorful, and that's the way I see the kingdom of God. I see His vision for the church is bright and colorful. Let me just tell you, you can't get a vision for church until you come to know Jesus as Lord and Savior. So you have to be saved. And if there's anybody here this morning that's not saved, run up here after church. I want to introduce you to the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. I want to introduce you to Jesus because this message will make no sense without a personal relationship with Him. But today I feel and believe that I'm talking to a bunch of people who know Jesus. So being that that is the case, that we know Jesus, what you have to know, as you come to a personal knowledge of Him, He downloads in every believer a picture and a desire for church. Now, there are people who rebel against that, but he gives a desire into your heart and life to be a part of a body of believers. And the reason for that is so that every part can do their own special work and the other parts will be helped to groan as they fit together. How can you fit together if you're not in church? You can't. It's in church. It's in the local church that you can fit together. And I love that last part of that verse. The whole body then is healthy, growing, and full of love. Healthy, growing, and full of love. Every church has a bend, or it has a way of doing things. And it's different than another one. As much as I love a lot of the other churches that's kind of in my circle of people that I hang with in other states, our picture looks different. If you go to Christian Ministries Church in Hot Springs, it's going to be similar, and you're going to find some things that you really enjoy, but their picture is bigger than ours. It's a bigger picture. And so we got some balloons, but they got a whole bunch of them. See, and then when you go to our Christian Ministries Church in Houston, it even looks different. It's very similar, but it looks more like this. It's a 12-piece puzzle. There's not a lot they have to think about. And that was a lot simpler in that kind of life back then. This one kind of freaks me out. I'll be honest. I mean, a 12-piece puzzle, a 300-piece puzzle, a 2,000-piece puzzle. Now, I could have got every size and tried to illustrate it, but you're getting the point of what I'm talking about here. So the Lord gives us a big picture. You know, when you have a 12-piece puzzle, you don't need a big picture. The bigger the picture gets of the puzzle that God has given you, the bigger the vision is, if you will, the bigger picture you have to see. Because when you start pulling out all of these puzzle pieces, they're very tiny. And until they start fitting together, they freak me out. This ought to fit, and it doesn't. And this picture on the front of the puzzle is not big enough. So I asked Jill to make even a bigger picture than this so you can see even more balloons. I want you to get the point of what I'm talking about. What I'm talking about is there is a big vision that God has placed in the hearts of his people to see the church fulfill the call that God has on its life. And so I want to start this morning by saying my first point I started with last week, you have to have a big picture. Romans 8:28 says all things work together for good for those who love God and are called according to his purpose. Do we have a bunch of people here that love God? Yes. Do we have a bunch of people who know that they're called according to his purpose? All right, well, what is his purpose? The church. A lot of people don't see that. But there's a big picture, and you've got to get the big picture view of CMC. It makes every part of the puzzle work more significant, be more significant, and it helps put things in the right place. This piece doesn't go there. Come on, it doesn't fit with that color. We got to move it over here. It goes in a different place. And if we keep trying to put puzzle pieces where they don't go, before long, you're going to tear up the puzzle. Yeah. Yep. I've done it. I get so tired of working on it, I just take a hammer and this piece is gonna fit. But it's never gonna look right. Many in church are frustrated with what they're trying to do. And it's because they're not looking at the big picture and they're trying to get puzzle pieces to fit where they're not supposed to fit. Here's the problem. Without the big picture, we're being moved by a piece of a puzzle instead of being moved by the big picture. I hear it all the time, people leaving the ministry because of people. You never leave a call based on people, no more than you would quit working on a puzzle because one piece doesn't fit where you thought it should. Well, I'm gonna quit working on this puzzle. Well, you're a baby. I'm gonna quit going to church because you're letting people move you. A friend of mine in Oklahoma said it like this, saying you aren't going to church because of hypocrites is like saying I'm not going to the gym because of out of shape people. I like that. Here's my second point I want to start with and talk about today. Work hard in finding your position in the puzzle. Now, you keep the big picture, but find your position. And I tell you, there are times that I have started in on something in the picture of the puzzle and realized you don't need to be here, Pastor. That's not your part. You need to get somebody else here. And I've seen this happen, and what we got to be careful about is when we're talking about position and working in our part of the puzzle, we've got to know that there is always going to be someone trying to work on a part of the puzzle that probably shouldn't be in that part. Really? Yeah. Well, why don't you move them? Because they'll figure it out as God gives them revelation if they stay hooked up. Now, I want to talk about this. Let me start by giving you all an accolade. Thank you for saying yes to church this morning. Glad you're here. I pray that this morning you'll find yourself in the right position in the body of Christ. That's not to say you can't go on vacation and go to somewhere else. But know this. Don't come back and try to bring another puzzle to this picture. Work on the puzzle that's at the picture of where you're at. Now, as you're there, you got to find a position in the church. Let me just tell you, Sunday mornings, there's a word for every one of us. There's a word for every one of us. It comes from his word, and he wants you to get it in your heart, and he wants you to live by it. That's what God wants. And before you find your exact position in church, you got to understand some things about the big picture of the church. We come into the church world so excited about church. Now, how do we come into the church world? We accept Jesus. We've already talked about that. We come to a knowledge of Jesus as Lord and Savior. And I love new Christians and their excitement. It pumps me up when they get excited about, I gotta see my part of the puzzle. And they'll get so excited about with really not knowing the big picture. They just got to know Jesus and they can't be more pumped up. Everyone has been there. You know, even Christians who have been saved a long time moving into a different area, or they're just, I've been out of church, and then they get a Holy Ghost moment and the Lord reveals to them they need to be involved in church. Whatever the cause is there, the Holy Spirit's going to get the credit for moving you into right thinking. And so we move into right thinking, and all of a sudden we get excited about the church again. This puzzle looks so cool. I remember walking down the aisle looking for the right puzzle to use as my sermon illustration. I saw this one. I said, that's it. That's it. It's bright. It's colorful. It's really cool. I'm not going to tear it up. I'm just so excited about church, and I'm excited about the illustration. I'm so excited about the word today. Well, I want to try to explain to you that in Christianity, there's always stages in your Christian walk. And in those stages, and this is today what I've got to share, as I try to explain this, everybody starts out excited. You wouldn't accept Jesus if you didn't see the excitement in that. So you accept Jesus, and then you kind of get, oh man, this is an exciting time. If it's just that you don't have to go to hell, all of a sudden your destination's changed. Whatever it is, Matthew 10, verse 8. Freely have you received, freely you give. See, you can't give something unless you've received it. Peter and John, they said, silver and gold have I none, but I'm going to give you what I have. Here's what I do have. And when you have Jesus, you have something to give. I'm just talking about, is if you know Jesus, then you have something to tell someone else that don't. You have something to tell them about. You have something to give. You can't give, please hear this point, you can't give what you don't have. So you got to be saved. It's the most important element of Christianity is Jesus. And you won't get the big picture without Jesus. See, Jesus first, then he downloads a vision in you. It's the most important element in Christian ministry is your relationship with him. Know this morning, that excitement comes from you having a relationship with him. How does a relationship start? You are introduced. And after that introduction, then you start talking. You can use this in friendship. You can use it in a relationship. You can use it in anything you want. But every relationship starts with an introduction. You have to be introduced. I'm always amazed as I look at social media right now and how people are introduced to people on social media platforms. How'd you meet them? On the internet. Now for us old schoolers, that's kind of like, that's not going to work. But I actually know people it worked very well for. So see, I'm not going to debate the introduction. I'm just telling you there has to be one. And without an introduction, then you won't have a relationship. So if you've been introduced to Jesus this morning, you have the start of the relationship. Let me just tell you, relationships that start and then there's no talking end pretty quick. Or relationships that start and then one gets mad at the other end pretty quick and then there's no talking. The sad part is a lot of Christians get introduced to Jesus and they accept an invitation for a relationship and they never talk. They never talk. See, there's an understanding of the most important element. The reason why you're introduced to Jesus and accepted is because really everybody starts with an understanding of him being able to fill your tank. You were empty and now you're filled. You weren't doing it right and now he forgave you and you accepted his forgiveness and you accepted into a life of receiving from him. So my first point today that I want to talk about in position is everyone starts their position receiving. Everyone does. Everyone starts their position receiving. Matthew 18, verse 1. At that time, the disciples came to Jesus saying, who then is greatest in the kingdom of heaven? Jesus called a little child to him. He didn't answer his question. It says, then Jesus called a little child to him. Well, that's not what we asked. Don't use a kid as an illustration. We asked you, Jesus, who's greatest in the kingdom. Jesus called a little child to him, set him in the midst of him, and said, Assuredly, I say to you, unless you are converted and become as little children, you will by no means enter the kingdom of heaven. Therefore, whoever humbles himself as this little child is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven. So surely I say to you, unless you are converted, that means accepted his forgiveness, converted, turned away from old into new, I'm converted. Then what happens is you are a little child. Well, little children, I can tell you all about little children. They are receivers only. They don't know anything about working or serving or anything like that. They're just receivers only. Let me tell you how you enter the kingdom of heaven as a little child. How's a little child a receiver only? They ask for something without giving it a thought as to whether the chores are done. They don't care if their bed's made, but they still want breakfast. I don't care. I mean, you just go to kids and they don't care if it's 1 o'clock in the morning. They just start screaming. I ought to hear some amen from all you still. They ask for something and they ask and they ask and they ask until they get it. Why do they ask? They ask because of a relationship. That's the only reason they ask. They ask because of a relationship. They totally understand grace because they're always receiving it. You just think about it at Christmas. How many days till Christmas? What have you asked for? What have you asked for? You say, there's 21 days left. Oh, man, that's like a whole lifetime to a child. Some of them it is. It's half their life. I mean, it's a long time, 21 days. I can't even imagine how long that's. The key word for children is anticipation. They're always anticipating what's for them next. They just can't wait for the next. That's their thought. They can't wait. They can't wait for you to put the puzzle together so they can enjoy the picture. They can't wait for you to put the toys together on Christmas morning so they can enjoy their new bike. But they did nothing to get any of this. Oh, yeah, they didn't get any coal. Naughty or nice, well, I must have been good. You weren't good. I got a list of things you need whoopings for. And half of them I gave to you. See, I mean, you've got all of that understanding, but they're wanting to receive. It's the same exact feeling when you get saved. Do you see why Jesus said, unless you convert? Unless you convert and get a part of the family and then become as a little child, which means that you can put yourself in a position to receive. I'm not here to put down kids. Neither am I here to put down new Christians. Praise God for them. I love their excitement. I love how they anticipate and they can't wait. See, Jesus said, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature, a new creation. That means he got a lot of things to learn. That's what it means. It means you're not the old person, but you're not immediately this new, sold out, mature Christian. No, you're like a little child. You this morning can understand this, because if you ever sat in church as a new Christian and you're really excited, there's an exhortation that you're feeling and you're getting all excited and you're sitting next to someone who just don't seem to be getting quite as excited as you are. You hear someone like Chapman on the front row. Hey, man, that was good. Wow, wow, wow. Like, what is the deal with him? Why does he got to say something all the time? Because he's a new. But you're sitting next to someone who's a new Christian, or you're the new Christian sitting next to someone who's not. And you're like, why aren't they getting? You're both hearing the same message, and it's doing something for one person, and it's not doing it for the other. You're getting divine revelation, and this other person's sitting there, and they've heard this 50 times, and you're like, this is so good. And this other person's like, I've heard this 100 times. See, you've heard nothing before as a new Christian, so you're all excited. It's all new. Just hold on and keep coming. You've been here 15 years, you'll probably hear the same message. He's talking about Malachi again. He's saying that I have heard Philippians, John 3:16, really learned that when I was, is he going to use that verse? Can you not come up with something new? See, after time, the wonder disappears. Things aren't as exciting anymore. They're not as new as they once were. And you're a little more knowing what is going to be said and what's going to happen. And I got this message before he ends it. It's like a Hallmark movie. I know how it's going to end. See, that's how we get. Here's what happens. When we start getting there, you can know that you're moving out of the receiver stage. The anticipation is not there anymore, and you're moving into the transition stage. So the second point today in the stages of Christianity is transition. Jesus said things about this. Paul said things about it. In fact, in Ephesians 5, God said it in Genesis. I mean, so many places in Scripture, but Ephesians 5:31, for this reason, a man shall leave his father and mother and be joined to his wife, and the two shall become one flesh. You may not know this, but that's not an instantaneous leaving. It's a cycle that occurs over time. And anybody that's married knows that there is a season of young people who get married having to transition out of their parents' home. I needed her to transition and understand just because her dad took the trash out didn't mean that I had to. We never transition that well out of that. But there are stages in all of Christianity and in all of life, and especially as we just view it in marriage, that there is not an instantaneous leaving from one stage to the next. There's a transition. And you don't start out as a child and all of a sudden become a mature 40, 50, 60-year-old. I started Christianity as a 12-year-old, as an 8-year-old, as a 6-year-old. Maybe you started as a 30-year-old. I just got saved here. Whatever the case is, you start as a little child, and that's okay. That's why there's temper tantrums at 1 o'clock in the morning. When you as a little kid were born, no one was thinking about you leaving home and starting a new life outside of the home that you were raised in. No one thinks that. I watch my own grandkids right now. All six of them. Well, one of them I just watched through ultrasound, but I watch six grandkids. And it's hard for me right now to think about my grandkids leaving home. Do you get this point? It's hard for me to think like that. But when I think of my daughters, it's hard for me to think about them coming back home and living. Really? Yeah, it is. I don't want them living with me again. I finally can do what I want. See, when something happened between the time they were a baby and the time they stepped out all on their own. And let me tell you what it was that happened. Time. Time happened. You want to see people mature into being able to be a part of the big picture, you need to give some people time. You got to give them some time. There for a season, because we had so many people as an influx into what was going on, we were real careful about just putting someone that come right in into a leadership position. And we're still very careful about that. Why? Because they haven't had enough time to really share the big picture yet. They need some time. And if in 2 to 3 months they're not doing what they think they should be doing, I've watched people leave because they're frustrated. Well, that shows me that they don't understand what I'm talking about today. And maybe if that's you today, and I don't have anybody in mind, I really don't. He was talking to me. No. God created human beings to go through cycles. And there's time before maturity. Babies want their moms, and aren't you glad? This little baby goes through a stage, levels, if you will. Oh, they're just going through a stage. And I wish they'd hurry up. Whatever the case, eventually your child who was a little baby will spend the night at a grandparent's house. Eventually. It's not a good idea when they still wake up screaming at 1 a.m. This isn't just for my kids. When they get a little older, They want to stay with one of their friends at their house. And that's a tough time for mom and dad. But the rope gets a little longer and a little longer. People don't treat teenagers the same way they treat babies. Are you understanding this illustration? They don't treat teenagers the same way. No one says those are just the cutest pimples I've ever seen. No one says that. As a teenager, you go through changes so fast. I mean, buying new shoes every 2 weeks. Come on, parents, have you been there? Every 2 weeks, good grief, we just bought you those shoes because their foot size won't stay the same. Their voice cracks. They went from singing tenor in the choir to singing bass in a week's time. By the way, that never happened for me. I hate that part of that. They live bored. Teenagers live so bored. I'm so bored. Just nothing to do there. The same thing happens with believers and people in church. They get bored. Oh, we got to go hear a passage. Got to go hear the pastor speak. They have to find a new high every time you turn the corner. That's teenagers for you. What do you do when you get bored? Anything other than what you're doing. Just, I want out of here. I see it all the time. I'll do anything I can do. And it's different than when you came to Christ. And people look at teenagers and go, what is wrong with them? You know who looks at teenagers and says what's wrong with them? Older people. You know what younger people want to do? Be just like them. If you're in transition in church, just always know somebody's watching you. Somebody's watching you. Well, they're just going through something. All right, but younger people are watching and they kind of want to go through something that you're going through. And they can't wait to get to their next place. And it's a transition. What you have to know, time is necessary. I'm just going to state it like this. All transition is miserable. You need to know that. Transitions, we want to get to some other place and we're all excited when we get there, and then we get there and we're like, this is miserable. We can't wait to be a teenager and then pimples. But we're always waiting for the next stage. We are a teenager. I can't wait to have my own car, my own gas money. I can't wait to get my driver's license, get my own job so I can spend money the way I want to. I can't wait to get out on my own and live on my own. I can't wait to get married. And when you teach prophecy to teenagers, they don't want to hear it. Why? Because they can't wait to get to the next level and they're not interested right now in heaven or the tribulation. Can that not be pushed off a little bit? See, they want Mr. Beautiful to come in. And here he is. That's all they think about. They just want the next season. They want it right now. Right now. You go from a scrawny kid at 13 or 14 to a full-grown adult in 7 to 8 years. That's a quick time frame. It really is. And there's not a close second to what changes for these kids in this transition stage of life. There's not a close. Teenagers can become so critical. If you're not entertaining me, I'm out. If I'm not coming to youth unless it's fun. What are we doing? I want to know what we're doing before I come to youth. See, I'm not interested. If it's not my way, I'm out. If the service didn't go exactly the way I wanted it, I'm out of here, boy. For a Christian during transition, they go to church, they get bored, they're critical, they don't want to, oh, pastor, you're being so mean to young people. I'm just saying it's a transition. The quicker you get through the transition, the better. They lose the excitement in the puzzle. I don't want any part of that. And I watch young people at 18 to 25 leave God's house. Why? Because they were bored. Now, we can learn something from that. And we can also teach something from that. And today what I'm trying to do is teach. I'm trying to teach through some of this. Don't get to a place where you're losing excitement in what you once were excited about. Children of Egypt, they were excited about the promised land, and then there were frogs. They were excited about the promised land, and then there was manna, and manna got old. See, they were excited about the promise, but they hated the transition. And what did God do? He left them there for another plague, and then for another plague, and then for something else, and he left them there. And before long, they were just miserable in the transition. The transition, church, will eat your lunch. It'll eat your lunch. This is where loads of Christians get bored with church. They get bored and they quit. And the main reason is because they start looking at people. When you first get saved, one of the biggest tools of the enemy is to get you offended at someone, at what they do or what they say. Someone in leadership making a call, you see it all the time. Someone leaves the church because they don't like a decision that were made. The way a wall was painted, the way they handled your kid, just an opinion or a difference or a flavor issue, and maybe it was even a sin issue. Let me just tell you, that person in leadership is not Jesus. So don't discredit Jesus because you are looking at people. Can I stop just right there? I'm not going to. People will fail you. Write it down. Get your eyes focused on Jesus. Psalm 119, 165. There's such a great peace and well-being that comes to the lovers of your word, and they'll never get offended. Psalm 119, 165. There is a great peace and well-being that comes to the lovers of your word, and they will never get offended. The word of God is your source in life. And if a person fails or stands upright, it doesn't make you waver. It don't matter. See, if they fail or they stand up, I don't. People can be rude, they can be mean, they can be downright ugly, and they can be really cool. All of those things, and none of them make you move. You're in transition for the promise. I can tell you story after story of how people have been wronged or wronged by people, and some of the stories you find yourself asking, how did they handle that? Easy. Here, there's an easy way to handle that. Don't look to people as your need meter. Look to Jesus. God is the one that meets your needs, and he is the one that equips you, and he'll use people to speak through, and he'll even use people to deliver the promise, but the people are never the source. They're never the source. God is the source. They're just a tool. And sometimes they're used by God, and sometimes they're used by the enemy. If they're used by the enemy and you're feeling like you need to be removed, you can know. The enemy's using something. The world was at its worst when Jesus was at his best. I mean, think about it. Jesus himself had to deal with issues from the 12 people closest to him. His disciples forsook everything that he had. They fled. Judas betrayed. Peter denied. No one testified for him. Jesus was at his best when humans were at their worst. We need to get our approval from Jesus. He understands. He understands. He was forsaken. I understand you have felt forsaken in church. Don't go to someone to try to fix that. Go to Jesus. Jesus understands. He understands. You have so many opportunities to get your feelings hurt in ministry when you're looking at people. You just do. Transition is so dangerous because you live your life before transition and you were excited because that's the first stage. You were excited. You started by looking at people to being God's deliverer of his blessings, but you start seeing people in their true light and you realize that people are people, and then you forget to look to Jesus because he's the one. He's the one. If people were without blemish, we wouldn't have needed Jesus to be our sacrifice. People were with blemish, and they all needed Jesus too. So we're all trying to put our part of the puzzle together, but you got to know, there are some people really excited and they're immature. There are other people that are really excited and they're in transition, except for they've been looking to Jesus, not people. But you got to be careful because we see this with young people. Hey, mom, you used to do this for me. Why aren't you doing it anymore? Because you're in transition, son. There's a good line, parents. You can use that. It just flowed. I don't know how it came out, but when you're full of the Lord, you can get through transitions. It's in transition that you start looking at people only if you're not careful. And then you aren't as excited as you once were because people can be boring. And then you start acting just like them. When people get bored, they want to hear something new. Apostle Paul said in Acts 17, 21, those who were there spent their time in nothing else but either to tell or to hear something new. Be careful when you're coming to church to always hear something new. I got to hear something new. You might want to hear the same thing you've heard 100 times because you've not got that one figured out yet. 1 John chapter 2, verse 7. Dear friends, I'm not writing a new commandment for you. Rather, it's an old one you have. You've had it from the very beginning. The good stuff in the kingdom is the old stuff. We have a new anointing on an old truth. Every Sunday, you have a new anointing on an old truth. Transition is the most dangerous stage in your walk with God. You see, it's the walk out of transition. It happens. Transition is not forever. And know this, it'll either end in your death or it will end in life and life abundant. But you're all going to be in a transition stage at some point. Every one of us, we move from a place where you quit enjoying so much to what you're getting out of life to a place where you're looking to watch what everyone is getting out of life and you're not. And it's just, oh man, I don't know about this. Let me just tell you, you move from this puzzle in church. And that's a transition and it's tough. Let me just tell you, after we get this and figured out, here's the next one. I don't want it. I'm tired of transitioning. You can just fall on the floor. I don't care. With Christmas, we start by it being about what I'm going to get to a place where you're in transition and it takes time. Christmas is all about the sparkle in the eyes. I just love that. Michelle and I love to watch the excitement in the receiver's eyes. The children are anticipating so much. I love that. I love that. It makes my belly get butterfly. It's not a word, but it's, yeah. Christmas is about this. See, we buy into the excitement of them opening the gift and we live life through their eyes to a degree. Anticipation, transition. And know this, comparing the Christian life to Christmas is very good. We move from getting from Santa, we move to a place to not really caring about Santa. Oh, that's just terrible to say. I'm telling you, it happens. People, I don't know why, but they do. They move to a place they don't care about Santa, to a place to one day, you are Santa. I love that. So you go from anticipation to this transition stage and it's horrible, but then there comes a day and time where you're transformed. You're transformed into some maturity. And you're not moved by someone who's so excited, but you can get excited with them. You're not moved by somebody who's transformation and they're just not getting it, but you're transformed. And I'm telling you, it makes a person happier to give when you get to the transformation stage. It makes the whole part of the puzzle worth it. The greatest joy in life with putting these puzzles together is I have watched God's people who got excited, they were transformed, but they didn't get to the transformation stage without some transition. And I've never seen transition without frustration. I've just never seen it. In my marriage, there was some frustration. And you know why? Here's why. Because we were transitioning. We were transitioning into Santa. When my kids drove off the day after they got married, I was bawling like a baby. It was a horrible day for me. I had to go home and let my wife just hold me. She's like, I need help. No, I'm holding her. We're holding each other. It was a terrible day. But it was the greatest transition in the world because I got 6 of them now that I can be Santa to. See, there's just a dip. There's that transition. There are miserable points in it. But there is an excitement because the payback is worth it all. It's worth it all. There was a time when the joy was not in the giving. The joy was in the return. Come on, this is good. But there comes a time where the joy is in the giving. There's an even higher place to live, church. We've got to quit coming to church to receive. We've got to get to a place where we're not coming to church to receive every week. Pastor, I can't believe you said that. I would love to be a church full of givers and we come and we get equipped to go out and minister God's word because we're so full of it, of the word. We're so full of the word of God that the little equipping told us what part of the puzzle to work on and the church started looking really bright and radiant. Next thing you know, everybody's enjoying it because we've got all stages in the church. The toughest place is when the whole church is in transition. I'll tell you it is. And know this, we're getting ready to go through a transition. Oh, yep. Here's why. Why do you say that? Because we always are. We're always in transition. We're always going to the next blessing. We're always going from glory to glory. Y'all get anything from this morning? People use this statement in leaving the church all the time. I'm not being fed. The fact is, I understand not being fed. I get that. But you need to come to church full because you're able to feed yourself. If you come to church full because you fed yourself, then you'd find yourself built up and not offended and ready to give. And I'm telling you, you'd find the church at a place you've never seen it before. Even now and then, what we need to do is get to a place where we are givers, not always receivers. You can move quicker out of that childhood stage. Get through those teenage years. You know, you've seen some young people in some real maturity. How have you seen that? I don't know, they just move through the transition quicker. We need to find a way to bless people. Not for the return, but for the joy of the blessing. Maybe volunteer to watch someone's kids one night so they can go out. Well, why would I do that? Why don't I just give them some money to go out and pay for a babysitter? Well, maybe you can do that. I don't know what you have, but you can't give what you don't have. Every now and then, I mean, we've got some people in this church know this, that have some disposable income now. They do. They're at a place that they have some disposable income. When's the last time you bought a gas card, walked in church and find, who can I give this gas card to today? Who can I bless somebody with for lunch? See, that they're but you may be the person who don't, so you're offering to watch their kids. There are ways you can bless people. We got to find a way to be a blessing, not just a receiver of the blessing. If you heard me say that and you went, I hope I'm the person who gets the gas card. I'm hoping that they're the person who, I hope they buy it for me. You know which stage you're in. There'll always be receivers. They're here, they're anticipating something. If they don't get what they want, they're out. That's always going to be the case. But then there'll always be those that have been transformed by the blood of Jesus. And they have signed up and said, I'm going to be making this picture better than it could ever look without me doing my part. Those whose heart is to come to church and be a giver. Y'all stand with me this morning.
We're so glad you joined us. For more information about this podcast and other resources, visit cmchurch.net.